Hello and welcome to this week's Comic Roast. I'm your host, Scott. You can find me on Twitter at XOrsonX. We are here with Brian, you can find on Twitter at Pure Rock Fury. And we are here with Chris, you can find on Twitter at SkateXEdge. And we are here with Damian, you can find on Twitter at Damian Johnston. Our number one's multiple for the week. We're going to do a little special stuff here. On Warehouse 9, we have Bob, non-union psychic, number one. Actually, it's number zero, I believe.
It is.
By Adam Vole and John Palmer and Francisco Resendez. We also did, on Aftershock, we have Rough Riders, number one, by Adam Glass and Pat Olief. And finally, we have Grizzly Shark, number one, by Ryan Otley and Ivan Placentia and Kelsey Shannon on Image Comics. And then our overrated, underrated for the week is actors or actresses that have played superheroes or villains. And I believe this spans movies and television. So, this should be a pretty fun episode. Transmitter circles the globe in search of a listener. Can you hear me now? Let's see. I've actually done a lot of reading this week. We have some interviews coming up shortly in a couple of weeks, so I had to catch up on some stuff there. So I read almost all of the Touching Evil stuff that we have so far. I have two singles left to go. That was by Dan Doherty, who is also the guy who does the Beardo comics. That Touching Evil is probably one of the most interesting comics I've read in a long time. I was pleasantly surprised at how well that is put together. And the hardcover that we got at C2E2 is absolutely top-notch. I definitely will recommend it. But, of course, you can wait a couple of weeks. We will be talking to Dan, and then he will be plugging their new release, I believe, is coming out shortly as well. Other than that, I did catch up on Descender. I know last week I said I was like three or four behind. Well, I finally caught all that up. And I don't know if anyone reads it.
Oh, yeah. Dun, okay. Dun, dun.
Right? Like, it's kind of...
Dun, dun, dun.
Now we know where the Harvesters, I believe, came from. And that's kind of a huge deal. Like, I don't know.
There's some chicanery going on.
Yeah. It started out really good. Maybe I'm not saying it like dulled. Maybe a little bit.
I don't think it dulled. He kept it at a pretty good pace, and then with this last one, it was just like, whoa.
Yeah, like it skyrocketed in my interest.
It's like, whoa.
Yeah.
So I didn't see that one coming.
I don't know if Brian's still reading it or not, but I'm
Descender?
Probably not.
Oh no, I'm still.
Are you caught up?
Whatever the last one that just came out like a week or two ago is the only one I haven't read.
Okay. I won't say much then, but holy cow.
Yeah, because that's the dun-dun-dun one.
Like, not only is... I don't know how familiar you are with it, Damian, but, like, the artwork is just ridiculous. I mean, I don't know. It's such a fantastic book, man. I mean, definitely highly recommended.
Yeah, I read the first trade, and I liked it quite a bit, so...
Okay, good, good.
Wait for the second.
I won't get too much into detail, but holy cow, this thing is awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah. I agree.
But, yeah, other than that, I haven't touched on too much else, although I did finally finish Mad Men, so nailed it.
That's what she said.
Yeah. So now I can move on to something else. Actually, I started Daredevil yesterday, so look at me. Season 2, that is.
I still got to finish season 1.
Yeah, you do, because season 2 starts out pretty awesomely.
Awesomely? Yeah. You're an American icon.
That's a great word. I'm bringing it back.
It's never been a word.
In the 80s, like, I'm sure it was said. Check pop-up video.
Look, we've already made references to One Life Crew and Integrity already.
No, you have made references to those things. We have skirted the issue. And we'll continue to do so.
Why don't you skirt your choices?
Yes, because I'm sure all the people on here that listen to it know who Integrity is.
Maybe. I don't know. I read a couple of trades that I wanted to just quickly mention. The first one, I read Volume 1, There Will Be Blood, of Nailbiter. And I'm kind of on the fence. Like, I'm not really that into horror these days. And overall, I mean, it was kind of an interesting concept. It was one of those weird things where I liked the concept better than I liked the writing. The characters were kind of hit or miss.
Williamson's a hit or miss, I think.
I just remember, like, a year ago, you and a few other people were, like, raving about how good Nailbiter is. And it's actually not bad. I mean, truth be told, I got it for free. So, I mean, if I had bought it, I'd probably be a little bit more, I'd be a little more upset. If you're really into horror, it's pretty interesting. It's kind of like, it's in the vein of like Silence of the Lambs, but I mean, honestly, I hated that movie, so oops. I remember when we reviewed Snowfall, I remember Damien had mentioned he was kind of over the trope of the tough, militaristic female character.
Yeah, and that one, there is one in there.
No, I'm over the snarky, purple-haired goth teenager trope. That is super annoying.
Yeah.
The one who rolls her eyes at everything, like, oh my god, dead body again, whatever. Like, that's the worst. I can't take another character like that. That really kind of lowered my overall on Nailbiter. The other one, I read finally the full trade of Ed Brisson's The Mantle that he did with Brian Levell. And I'm also on the fence on that because I think it was supposed to be ongoing, but I don't think it's sold very well. But I really like this book. There's a couple of dialogue hiccups that I was kind of like, ew. But none of it detracted from the fact that it's a really violent and mature superhero story, but it's done in this way that's almost like it's not trying to deconstruct the superhero genre. It's happily a superhero book, just with a lot of blood, gore, and violent language.
And sex.
None of that.
Okay.
But no, I really, I'm not really, I'm kind of down on the whole, I'm going to create my own superhero universe thing. This one I particularly like quite a bit. It's really, I don't want to get too deep into it. There's a character called the Mantle. It's not really a character, it's a persona. When the Mantle dies, a new person takes over the persona of the Mantle, and there's like 50 of these Mantles that have died since the first one appeared. And there's this arch villain called the Plague that keeps coming through space and time to kill the new Mantle. Which, I mean, on its head, it sounds kind of like, oh, another typical superhero story. It's got kind of a neat twist. But yeah, if you see the Mantle, I actually hope they don't do any more because it ended perfectly. And I,
was that on Image?
Yes, it was. I really, really like this book a lot. By Ed Brisson, who we've mentioned before.
Talk to him.
What?
We should talk to that guy.
I think we should. I remember he posted something about sweatpants recently, which I thought was kind of awesome. Was it sweatpants? Nice. Or was it about his like overly Caucasian legs?
So I can tell him how awesome the violent is.
I'm into both.
Sweatpants and Caucasian legs?
Yeah, why not?
Good. I don't know what the heck I'm talking about. I'll stop. Sorry if that was super loud.
No, it was great.
Didn't read anything. Yeah.
Oh, that was easy.
At all?
Yeah. No, I read our stuff, but that was about it. And then like, I went and picked up my stuff yesterday, and I still haven't gotten a chance to read it. And I've been wanting to read Black Road really bad. I just haven't found the time to. I got a whole bunch of stuff I got. Jackpot. I picked up all that stuff.
How was it out at the shop out here? I know yesterday you said you were going to go around the entire Chicago area and buy up every magazine size variant of Criminal to make sure I don't get one.
Oh.
So I was just wondering how your road trip went.
Oh,
Romney.
It was pretty good.
Did it go?
I didn't even know how many times I had to fill up.
Did you bring your dog on the roof of the car and then park it on your car elevator afterwards?
No. I just went to a couple of places. I didn't go to AF, so you'll be able to get it over there.
All right.
I gave up.
Well, thanks for cleaning out the store in Palatine for me.
That's awesome. I didn't read much either. I'm as usual, I'm a little too poor to pick up too much, but I did. I read the number ones, and I also read the fix.
Please tell me you got the fix.
I read the fix. I just said I read the fix.
Oh, okay. Sorry. What'd you think of it?
Oh, I thought it was awesome.
All right, cool.
It is heavy on the words. That script must have been mighty.
I told you.
Yeah. I was like, if you stand back far enough from those pages, they almost look white from all the word bubbles.
Yeah. That's kind of what I like about Nick Spencer. Like, all his stuff is like that. His Ant-Man is like that. His Morning Glories is like that. His Bedlam was like that. This is like that. It was fun to read.
It's like cocaine paste dialogue.
I like the little inside jokes.
Yeah, I just read it once and a couple days ago. I'm definitely going to read it again because I feel like a lot of it sort of washed over me. But it was. It looks like it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, how did you like the guy that said that he tasted his own?
Oh, his own semen.
Yeah.
I know. I've done that.
My God.
Who hasn't done that?
I do it every morning. I mean, it's like my protein shake.
A little shot in his cup of Joe.
Yeah, I think Henry Rollins once said that you're not a man until you've tasted your own cum. So I decided. Well, I guess I should try. It's weird. Not my thing.
I don't know. How,
it's okay.
I don't know how I feel right now.
I know how we could feel. We could feel how we should feel about Bob, the non-union psychic.
All right,
if we're ready. This was one that was actually sent to us
a year ago.
Well, you don't have to point that out. Hey, it was sent to you guys. You guys just gave it to me, and I read it and reviewed it in like a couple of days, so nailed it. This one was sent to us, and I sat down the other day to read it. And basically what it is, there's this guy, Bob, who is a barber, hairdresser, whatever, and his grandfather wants him to be a part of the local psychics union. So he keeps, you know, he kind of works side jobs with his grandpa as far as psychic work. And his grandfather keeps trying to finagle an interview with the local psychic unions. Basically, you know, as the story progresses, the unions come out to check out his psychic work, and things go a little off the wall, and lo and behold, he does not get in, hence the name Non-Union Psychic. Personally, I like the artwork is, and this is not saying this to be a bad thing, but it's kind of cartoony, and I know that sounds weird when you're talking about, you know, comics or whatever, but like, it's something you can almost picture on like a, you know, Saturday morning cartoons kind of style. But the one thing that stood out the most that I think really brought the book more so, you know, was a lot of the panels that Bob was in, there was a lot of ghosts drawn into the panel, into the background. And it sounds like it might kind of overwhelm it, but it really didn't. It just kind of helped to portray his quote unquote psychic abilities. To me, this was a super fun read. Like I was surprised at how much I liked this book. I don't know if you guys felt the same way, but I guess we'll find out right now. Brian's texting, so if someone wants to take the
I thought the art. If I just say the art itself, I mean it was cartoony. Like I'd say it almost kind of reminds me of. Like if there was a comic book that was going to be like the promo for a video game, like it kind of had like a Sam and Max sort of vibe to me.
Okay.
But the composition I thought was really strong. Like the way the pages flowed, the angles, like the way the overall all just characters sat in the panels was really strong. It was really technically proficient.
I agree.
Not really my style of art, but not bad at all. Like, I didn't dislike it. It's just immediately I was like, oh, okay, it's kind of not really maybe my thing entirely, but let's see how this goes. And then the story I thought was super fun and really interesting and like funny and also pretty exciting. It's good.
It was really long too for just like a zero issue or whatever. I mean, I felt like there was a lot of substance to this thing.
I am going to go ahead.
Yeah, zero issues usually get a pass at being like really light, like even lighter than regular number one, but this was not the case.
Right.
I'm going to go ahead and say this was complete propaganda from the anti-union psychic Ayn Rand types, which I find extremely offensive. This was just pure capitalist, I got nothing. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
It sounded so much better in my head this morning. I'm like, I'm going to totally crush it. And I was like, nah, it's going downhill. Let's just stop. No, I agree. It was in the... I kind of... When you said Sam and Max, the first thing that popped into my head, like, as a companion comparison was Grim Fandango.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of that almost early 3D animated feel to it. But yeah, I agree. The story was mostly pretty fun and humorous and... I mean, it wasn't like, oh my god, like, but it was a fun book. I agree. It was weird because it looks so child friendly, and then there's all kinds of, not really coarse language, but there's a little bit of like coarse language in there. So it's kind of a little bit, it throws you off a little bit because you're expecting it to be like, gee willikers, and it's like, god damn it, holy shit. And,
right.
I read it on my phone, so that also...
God, you're the worst.
Well, here's the thing. I read all of the number ones on my phone this week. and I will tell you, I do not like that.
No,
I couldn't find the other number ones, the print copies. My shop was sold out, and this one I didn't have my computer. It was it was in the shop, so I was like, well, I guess I'll just look at my phone. And that was exceedingly difficult. To like zoom in and scroll over and zoom out and go down. Like,
wow, I feel bad for you guys.
Yeah. I meant to fire it up on the.
You would have a Nook for crying out loud!
And I'm getting. I meant to do that, but then by the time I even thought of it, I'm like, I gotta go to sleep in like 20 minutes. I'm like, I'll just do it on my phone. I'm like, maybe it'll be okay. So I have to apologize. I didn't give it the full breadth of, you know. But I have it downloaded. I'll read it again on a better device. I got to start now that I got that Comics Reader app, like now I feel I can better read these things digitally.
What about Christopher? Did you read it on your phone too?
iPad.
See, that's what I'm talking about. This guy knows how to read comics digitally.
I agree pretty much with all you guys said.
I don't want to disagree with anybody.
No. I mean, you pretty much said... Damien said what I was going to say, and you pretty much said what I was going to say. So it's like, okay, well, I guess you guys covered
opinion, so... It's kind of rough. I mean, you don't want to give away too much of the story, but I mean, definitely, you know, they're on the social medias and all that. I don't remember if it was this one or if it was one of the other ones that had a subscription service for when the next one comes out, but I really hope the next one comes out soon because... I don't know. I thoroughly enjoyed that book. So
yeah, actually, I was going to also say this was really, aside from the composition, not what I was going to say. No, this. I mean, I don't know if this is like their first crack at doing a comic, but it's really well written.
Yeah.
I mean, not to say that other people haven't done very well, but I mean, you read a lot of people that put out their first books on their own, and you know there's some areas where you're like, oh, I could see the writing being a little sketchy here and there, but this, like, right out of the gate is very, very well written, and it's an impressive DIY book. I mean, even like the inside front page where they have like all the information of this is issue zero, first printing, blah, 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 who wrote it, lettered it, colored it. All that looks like down the line, like something Image or DC or Boom or somebody would have released. Because a lot of these books, again, the inside front kind of doesn't do that because they're putting it out themselves. They don't have to go through the whole copyright, so on and so forth.
Yeah, I agree. So we can go ahead and we'll throw this some numbers on and move forward. Like, you know, like I said, if you want a little more of an in-depth review, I probably went a little more in-depth, or, you know, over the weekend when I wrote the review for reviewandroast.com. Check it out there. But I'm going to stick with my numbering there, and I'm giving this thing a 9. I had a blast reading it, and I can't wait to read it again and get the next one.
I'm going to give it an 8. I should not have read it on my phone. That's all. I have a large phone, and I was like, what did that just say? Is that a period? Oh, it's a skull. I don't know what the heck I'm looking at.
I guess I'll go. I'm going to give it an 8.
Sorry, IG on mute. Go ahead.
Okay, sorry. No, I'm going to give it an 8. I thought it was really good, but I'd like to see some more for sure. If I'm going to nitpick anything, I will say that I thought the type, like not the actual word bubbles or anything, but like the type that's on like the title page that's like a little ways in and like some of the stuff in the back wasn't handled super strong. So I'd like to see them maybe tighten up the typography a tiny bit, but I thought it was great. Well done.
7.75.
Oh, nice. Look at this guy getting technical with diffractions.
7.75.
Nice. Okay, the next one we have to talk about is Rough Riders number 1. This was Aftershock, and I know Chris has been waiting for this one for weeks. So if you'd like to do the honors, I'd be more than happy.
No, you go ahead. No.
This
I'm
one.
Steal your thunder.
No, well, I'm just trying to spread the wealth. If anybody wants to take the lead on this one, be my guest. If not, I will. All right, I guess
go
that's
for
me.
It.
All right, so this one,
we're trying to pass off duties here.
You said duty.
Oh, my God. Please delete that.
I'm laughing
more because Brian's getting all, like, flustered.
I'm not that
flustered. It's not that hard with him. So, Rough Riders, number 1. Rough Riders is based in... what year? Give me a year, somebody.
1898.
Late 1800s.
And this was Mr. Roosevelt.
Yes, Teddy.
And, you know, he was almost, you could say, like a vigilante in this comic. Like, he was almost like the, you know, late 1800s version of Batman, I guess.
Well, yeah, this comic is a historical fiction, I guess, if that's what you want to call it.
Really? I thought he was Batman in the 1800s.
You never know. It really could be.
I always thought he flew around in a Zeppelin and saved women from burning buildings.
No, you asshole.
Well, I mean, that is exactly how it opens up. Yeah, it opens up with, you know, there's a, I'm assuming some kind of almost like a sweatshop, I guess. Like, they're in there working and sewing, and the building catches on fire, and, you know, he comes to the rescue, and, you know, he... Unfortunately, one of the ladies falls through the roof, and, you know. But anywho, then he goes on to the fancy rich guy Romney parties, and he has a secret meeting with, you know, like the J.P. Morgans, and...
And now no one needs to buy the first issue.
Yeah, because that was the whole story. And, you know, he has this meeting or whatever, and he talks about, you know, they want him to take care of something. So he's like, well, I need to find a team, and I need to do this, and... You know, I mean, the artwork really fit with the time. You know, it was really kind of a dirty yet dignified look to it.
Reminds me of Dynamite, like a Dynamite comic book.
I can see that.
The artwork.
Yeah. But, you know, as the story goes on, you know, he's trying to get this team together to go on this, you know, secret mission for the rich guys, more or less. And, you know, I don't know how long the series goes for, but, you know, as of the end of this book, it's just him and the one other guy, which I believe was Jack Johnson. he went down to the docks to watch him box, and then he was kind of just talking shit to him the whole time, and you're good, but you ain't that good. If you come with me, I can make you better kind of thing. And I mean, it was interesting.
Like, what are you trying to say? Because I'm black and I'm not good.
Yeah, there was a little of that in there. It's I don't know. I guess for all the hype that that Chris pumped into this book.
I didn't pump anything into it. You've been your brother that did.
It was decent in my opinion. I didn't hate it, but I
let me tell you this: it was no fix number one. I'll tell you that.
I don't think anything is in your eyes at this point. You haven't heard. I haven't heard you rave about anything since The Violent like this. Although you did nail it with that one. That one was great.
I like this. I mean, and I'm going to say it again for people who don't know, it is a historical fiction with steampunk elements.
Yeah, I can see that.
And I don't think it was a bad first issue, but I mean, I definitely want to see the other people he's going to be, you know, getting for his team, but I mean, they already kind of tell you. I mean, I already know, so.
Well, because it's not really a fiction. It's actual.
Well, I mean, Jack Johnson wasn't a part of the Rough Riders for real, and neither was any of the other people he's going to be getting.
Right. Like Ralph Cramden and.
No, like.
Well, Danny Oakley.
Yeah, I didn't want.
They're all on the cover.
So. Yeah, I know. It's right there. Yeah, you can't miss it. It's like them, Houdini.
Oh, that's right, because they were going to go towards Houdini at the end of the book. That's right. The Magic Man.
Edison. So.
All right.
But,
so.
I mean, I like that so far, like the team he's gathering. I mean, it's kind of like, it kind of reminds me of League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
I've never seen it.
Well, it's kind
of
what.
Reminds me a lot of it.
Yeah. I read the comic and saw the movie, so.
Nice.
Yeah, it's wouldn't you say that, Damien, then it is kind of like League of Extraordinary Gentlemen?
Oh, yeah, it's almost identical. I was not a fan. I didn't like this.
It was okay, I mean.
And I like everything.
I think it's more like I want to like it, but it's average, I guess, at best. And the artwork's fine. The story is, you know, the writing is fine.
If you
break it down and you start, you know, getting to it, I mean, yeah, then it's not really an original story because, I mean, yeah, we just said it's kind of like the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, except, you know, in America.
Yeah, I mean, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen was all figures from fiction. They were all fictional characters in general.
Oh, yeah, Dorian Gray and
Peter Pan,
you know, Captain Nemo, and
yeah. So, but this is, this is all, you know, obviously people who lived. And I guess I find that there's a little intrigue in there. Teddy Roosevelt's an interesting president. I mean, he was like, I think at this point of his career, he's probably like Secretary of the Navy or whatever, because it's right at the beginning of the Spanish-American War. I mean, there's a conspiratorial thing under it that I kind of think is interesting, and I like mentions of Pinkertons and that kind of thing, but it just felt really uninspired to me. I thought the art was fine. It kind of reminded me of like a really restrained Rob Liefeld, and it wasn't really my thing. I don't know. I don't think I'll read another one of these. It not my jam.
We could have did the fix, but someone didn't pick it. So.
The band,
and
the
I
fix?
Know, and I know these two fucks over here, Brian and Scott, did it out of pure spite. But hey, whatever.
Did what?
Not pick it.
Not pick what?
I know you guys are probably A-ing up on Saturday. Look, there's the fix. Let's not pick it and piss off Chris.
You said you wanted to pick it.
You put far too much into these alleged motivations that we supposedly have. Like, I never think of that deeply, and he's like sitting there going, I know they're not going to do it. Settle down.
I could see where Damien is. I don't, there's something about it that just, like, I don't know what it is about it, but I like it, and I want to like it.
Right on.
I actually did like it.
And I know the way Damien just described it, he made me seem like I'm a simpleton.
No, not at all. don't feel that way. I'm really. I hope I didn't make anyone who likes him feel that
no,
way.
No, no, no. But you're, I mean, you're right. I mean, dude, I said it even before you said it. I said it's like the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. I mean, it's not. Yeah. It's not. It's. It really, when you break it, when I said when you break it down, it's really a story that's already been told, but with a different cast of characters. And well, I understand people get inspired by other things that are out there. You know, I've seen people.
Sure.
You know, it's you know, it's fine. You know, that's how we find inspiration in anything that we do, artistically, whether it's writing or you know, drawing or painting, visual. But I mean. If you're going to do something like this, I mean, he could have, I don't know, he could have switched it up a little bit. So, I mean, if we go based on the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, then that means like J.P. Morgan and all those other guys are just shysters and this is one big ploy.
I mean, in real life, they probably were.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I have only read one mini series of League of Extraordinary Gentlemen that came out on Top Shelf. It was like the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen 1963, I think it was called. It was like during the whole.
Oh, yeah, that has a like Sal Paradise, I think, in it and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You got to read the original one.
Well, I read that thing and I hated it, so.
Yeah,
Alan
I heard that
Moore
wasn't
did
good.
That?
I didn't, yeah, he did that one. There's a couple other ones he did after the original that weren't very good. I didn't read that 1963 one, but I had heard from people that it was not good.
Yeah, it was really just stupid. I hated it. I even, like, halfway through, I'm like, I hate this thing, but I'm going to finish it out of spite. And then I finish it, I'm like, I hate myself for even wasting this time. And it was, like, 40 pages long. I was like, I don't know. This was remarkably better. I don't know if that's a phrase, but it is now.
Yeah.
It is.
I don't know, I'm still intrigued by the whole, all the theories and, you know, the, like the creature from Jekyll Island type stuff about how the, you know.
Well, I'm interested to see how Teddy Roosevelt is going to employ the services of the other cast of soon to be Rough Riders.
Yeah, it's such a weird time because like that's when the Federal Reserve was put together, and there's that book, and I'm sure a lot of it's, you know, tinfoil hat type weirdness, but the whole creature from Jekyll Island angle, where all the big, you know, the big business magnates got together supposedly at this hotel off the coast of Georgia and plotted to unify the banking system so they can essentially control the flow of money. That stuff's interesting to me, whether or not it's true or whatever. I'm not going to get all Alex Jones on anyone, but I don't know.
I think that stuff's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I like the possibility of them, you know, because I remember Ed Brubaker had mentioned in that some of that conspiracy stuff like fueled his Captain America run and when he wrote Sleeper, and he's like, it's not that I believe in that stuff. He's like, it's just super fascinating that people go there. And he was like, I wanted to go there, so I went there. I don't know if that's where they're going to go. They may just completely never mention the Rockefellers or, you know, William Randolph Hearst ever again. But that's such a weird time in American history. So,
well, yeah, now that you mention it, I mean, to do something from this era, Adam Glass actually has like a slew of like historical, prominent historical characters that he could use to intertwine with this story that were around at this time.
I mean, like, what if in some arc, like Teddy Roosevelt fights Albert Fish? That would be weird.
I don't know, but when I was done reading it, I thought it was fine, and like I can see. There's a potential that I could see in it for some reason. I don't know.
I mean,
I'm interested to see how he's gonna try and, like, you know, sway Houdini to come and join. How he's gonna sway Annie Oakley to come and join. You know, is she gonna tell him to fuck off or, you know?
Considering she's on the cover, I'm gonna say no.
Well, obviously not, but I mean, What if it's like, you know, what if she puts him through the ringer to, you know, to join? She's like, yeah, I'll join, but you first you're going to have to take me on in a fucking, you know,
bare knuckle boxing match or something.
Or some kind of target, you know, clay, the fucking
we need to go
skeet shooting.
We need to enter the we need to enter the octagon before I'll go.
Yeah, exactly. And she's going to fucking, like, actually know, like, ninjutsu and... And then Chuck Norris is going to come flying.
All right, now we're getting really ridiculous.
But no, there's a potential that I see in it, and I think it actually has the potential to actually be something really cool, despite that it took a cue from, you know, an existing comic.
Sweet. Okay, I guess number time, and then we'll move on to the next one. Personally, like I said, it's good, but it just didn't grab me. I'm at about a 6.
It didn't grab you by the haunches and hump you into submission.
It was just kind of there.
Everything is like humping and stuff with this guy.
He's our resident 14-year-old.
Yep.
Yeah, it's not my favorite Aftershock book to this point. I mean, if I had to rank them, it's probably towards the bottom. But I still like it, and I will get at least the next 2 or 3 to see if it gets super weird. Hopefully it does. I'm going to give it a 7.
And go.
Okay, I'll go.
Go ahead. Go ahead. I'll be right back. Something happened, all right?
Yep. Okay. Should I draw it out? I'm just going to say I was going to give it a 5.
can you stretch that out?
Yeah, I am a little interested in seeing where the story goes because it's an interesting time that I don't know a ton about. I mean, I know a little about, but, you know, I'm kind of curious as to how the story goes, I suppose. I sort of like that. I guess I'm with Brubaker on the thing because I don't put a lot of stock into conspiracy theory anything because I think it's usually there's a lot of like cognitive dissonance that has to go into like believing that stuff. But I still find it really interesting. I mean, I like James Elroy books and they're very much the same kind of thing. So I am curious, but I wasn't very impressed.
Well, I will cop to having been a conspiracy intrigued for a while. Still kind of am, but I mean, at this point, I'm just like, it's, even if I believed any of it anymore, I would still just be like, there's too much and there's not enough time in the day for me to do this anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, for me, I think there's real danger in believing something that's not true. There can be, at least. So I do my best to try to make sure that, you know, the decisions I make are based on as much real evidence as possible. I mean, sometimes someone will be like, well, don't you think that, you know, the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds run everything? I was like, I don't know. I mean, maybe in like a much simpler way than you're imagining. I mean, maybe because they have power and influence. I don't know. So I don't like to get too caught up in that stuff because a lot of it you have to make some pretty bold assertions and assumptions that, you know, aren't always very well founded, I suppose. As well as I keep the possibility of a lot of those things open, I don't put a ton of stock into them. And I think things like believing Sandy Hook was a false flag or 9/11 was an inside job could actually be dangerous if you were to follow that line of thinking down to its logical conclusions, which I think eventually turns you into a gun-toting Alex Jones listening crazy person. So,
well, I guess again, that's kind of what, like, for me, like, the things that made potential sense were eventually dragged down the road towards these things that were like, what? And then after a while you're just like, I don't know, even if I care a little bit, like, my head hurts, I'm gonna go lay down. And then that was pretty much the end of it. Because the thing I noticed is that the second the White House changed hands, all of a sudden the entire narrative was slapped onto the new guy, and I was just like, whoa, you can't just do that.
Right.
You can't just now go, oh, Obama knows all this. No, that doesn't work like that. So at that point, I was like, oh, I think I'm done. I'm like, this went from being a a thing about, you know, war is for profit, etc., to we're just going to continue to graft this narrative onto the next guy and the next guy and the next guy till we get the answers. And at what point do you even acknowledge you've gotten any answers? And then you just pretty much go, oh, you know what? This is a job for this person. And this never ends, because otherwise, if they got the answers, then they don't have a job anymore.
That's a sad way to look at that job.
Where did we go?
But I know what you mean.
I think we're just covering time waiting for Chris to get back. We can actually cut some of this out.
I have been back.
Oh, well, I don't know.
Oh, right on. Welcome back. So you got a number?
I'm giving it a 7. I see potential in it. I think this actually could be a pretty decent book.
Yeah, well, let me know what you guys think.
Oh, I will.
I may have to eat crow and, you know, check it out again, and I'm fine with that too.
No, I agree. I'm probably not going to be going much farther anyway, but I know we'll hear about it if these guys do. So that's fine with me. I'll save my money.
I'm going to check out. I'm going to check out the next two. I kind of have a feeling that it might be just this. You know, it wasn't a strong first issue. It wasn't a bad first issue, but it. You know, it wasn't.
It was printed on paper and it was stapled together.
I don't know what else to say. It wasn't that strong. It wasn't a strong, you know. It was no The Fix, I'll tell you that.
It was also no Grizzly Shark number 1, which is our next one on Image by Ryan Otley, Ivan Placentia, and Kelsey Shannon. This is, to me, what I was hoping Archie versus Sharknado would have been, because that book was disappointing in my eyes. But this book is basically, you know, you have your standard issue rednecks, or, you know, they got to find the beast that's killing their cattle, and the one guy's, oh, there's shark bites. I know there's, like, yeah, there's no sharks in the forest, blah, and they're arguing. And then if you check my Instagram, you will see a picture of a shark in the forest. Menacingly hiding in the bushes, awaiting his prey. And when you think of a book called Grizzly Shark that is based around a land shark that is killing cattle and rednecks, it sounds a bit ridiculous. And it is every bit as ridiculous as you can think it would be, and then some. This is probably my new favorite book on the planet. This thing was amazing.
That picture of the shark growling in the bushes is the funniest thing I've seen in months. And it instantly reminds me of the movie Alligator with, he was in Robert Forster. It came out like 1980. There's this part where there's this dinner party at this rich person's house, and all of a sudden this alligator just pops out of the bushes and starts eating everybody at the party. And I cackled like a maniac during that part. And that picture did the same thing. And then when it jumps out of the trees and everything else.
Yeah,
this book is like the dumbest thing ever, but it's so hilarious. So.
I don't want to give away a lot, but like right off the bat, I do want to give away this one part. So whatever.
Is it the jogger?
No. It's the part where they're sitting around the campfire and the kid gets whatever, and the shark comes out and literally bites him in half. And the father was all like, oh, my God, we need to cauterize the wound. And he just takes his kid and sticks him in the campfire. And then he's, like, trying to pour the aspirin down his throat. And he's like, oh, don't take too many. You're going to whatever. He's like, no, it's fine. My stomach is over there. Ha, ha, ha. And, like, the rest of the book, all they do is make fun of how this kid has no legs. And it's unbelievable. This book is amazing. I can't wait to read it again.
No pun intended. I don't know how many. I don't know what kind of legs this series has. But yes. Is it a one and done? It's pretty hilarious.
Yeah. Although there was a teaser cover for the last one, for the next issue.
Oh, I know there's like one or two more issues out there, but I don't think like this is a lengthy arc that needs to be told through time or anything like that.
I hope the stories keep coming.
It's not a redemption story for the grizzly shark.
All right, so I'll stop rambling and I'll let you guys all speak.
Oh, I thought it was super fun. It's super crazy. It's like this really crazy book, and I had a lot of fun reading it, and it's drawn beautifully. It's super, it's just, I mean, crazy is maybe the best word for me to describe it. It's, it almost felt like it was being written while it was being drawn. Like, it's just, it's, it felt weird that there would be a script. It just seemed like it was just, they were like, just go. Like, take the idea of Grizzly Shark and go as fast as you can.
All right, guys, I got this idea. It's called Grizzly Shark. It's, this is what it's about. I want it done in 5 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, geez.
But, I mean, but it also looks beautiful. Like, I think the drawings are great, and it's just hilarious. And the grizzly shark, yeah, that shark in the bushes is the best shot. Like, we should, that should just be the new flag. Like, we should just take, get rid of Stars and Stripes.
Nobody would mess with America anymore.
Or if nothing else, you could change the Don't Tread on Me flag to the shark in the bushes instead of the stupid snake or whatever the thing is. I'd become a libertarian for like a week if they did that.
So I think I'm about to get that picture tattooed to my face somehow.
You know, I was gonna say, did you ever see the Patton Oswalt stand-up special when he was talking about Deathbed, the bed that eats people?
Yes.
And he was talking about the guy as a typewriter going, the bed does this and the thing and this is awesome. That's the guy drawing and writing this. He's like, the shark jumps out of the bush. It's going to be awesome.
I just love how they were arguing. There's no way it could be a shark. He's like, I've seen a shark bite before. There's a shark bites. And then later on, he's like, I don't think shark can breathe underwater. Spoke was just so ridiculous. It was so good.
Mm-hmm. It's exactly what I wanted when I saw. I remember just walking past. I go, grizzly shark, done. I don't even need to read this thing. It's a fin coming out of the bushes.
I didn't. I kind of knew what you were expecting, and I was like, there's no way it's going to be that good. And it absolutely exceeded my expectations.
Because you can't really have any. You can't go in going, well, I hope this is like Jurassic Park but with a shark in the forest. It's like... it's, yeah.
All right. What about you, Chris? You would...
Yeah, I well, I think it pretty much had my name written all over it.
I'm actually kind of surprised you didn't come up with this.
It's good. This would be like something that him and Joe would like go in on together.
Like they ate one too many cheeseburgers and they're like, dude, I got this idea.
Yeah, it's...
They're like piecing it together with napkins at Denny's, like, oh dude, check this out.
It is something like if I had like an idea like at 2 o'clock in the morning. It's actually an idea that I probably would have came up with you, Brian, back in like 99.
Yeah, you're probably right, actually.
Sitting in the parking lot of a Krispy Kreme.
Yeah, that or like somebody's running around the block with a ironing board for no reason at 3 in the morning. Which actually happened, so.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Dude, we were super bored.
And we were in the city of all places, too.
Yeah, we were in the
so
city.
So you decided to do night ironing?
No, this was during the day.
Dude, I don't know what was going on. It was just appliances and running around the neighborhood screaming. We're in Lincoln Park. It was, you know, it's where you do that sort of thing.
Nice.
And I remember Brian and I actually air guitared pretty much the whole Beyond LP to Josh.
Yep, that happened.
But this thing ruled because it's like there's nothing behind it. It's just, you know, there's no rhyme or reason to it, and it worked.
Yeah, it is like the narrative structure of screaming out of a car window while driving by.
I was thinking it was more like if you played an Infest record like at 78 RPMs.
Yeah, I'm into that.
Well, alrighty.
But yeah, it was pretty fucking rad.
I assume we should just number it and move on then, huh? Yes, yeah. Yes. Alrighty. Personally, I mean, I don't know if we're gonna allow it, but can I give this thing like a 12?
I was just gonna say, can I give it a 14?
I mean, if we're
is that allowed?
If we have to stick between the 1 and 10, like it is a 10 all day long. This is my favorite book that has ever been created on planet Earth.
Yeah, I was gonna say I Am Legend was my favorite, but I think it's number 2 now. We're gonna stick with the. I'm gonna give it a 10 because it's just like there's just too many hilarious panels in this thing not to like cry from laughing a few times.
I feel bad. I was gonna give it a 9.5.
You must.
Shark must have got to your score.
He took a bite out of it.
So, are you giving it a 9.5, or was that still up for debate?
Give it a 10. Everyone should have it.
Well, I was gonna say a 9.5, but I'm gonna say a 10 as well because I want to be part of this. It's like the guy who pitches Mark McGwire that ball. Like you kind of almost want to like lob it underhand just to be the guy who like like threw the zillionth home run. But yeah, it was great. It was super. I'll say 10 and I regret nothing because it was. It was a ton. It was super fun. It was like someone who really loves comic books and likes playing with the genre and likes his audience. There's like not and clearly not knowing if there is an audience, but someone who just likes to have fun and be fun. And I really I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Do we have our first unicorn?
I was going to say, do you remember?
Really, for me, it was the jogger with the menstrual cycle.
Dude, the jogger, the rock climber, the big oaf with the sideways head. I mean,
yeah, that little detail was amazing.
What, do you remember, like, I was talking about Saints Row 3, where there's that billboard with the big hole in it? And there's the dirt ramp leading directly towards the hole.
Uh-huh.
And I was talking about that time when I was trying super hard to get the motorcycle through the hole while that song, "You're the Best Around," was playing. And I couldn't do it. This comic was the version where I made it through the hole right when the chorus was going on. Except the hole was on fire, and I was on fire, and I was like, yes!
Yeah, it was great. It's like people who love trauma films and love absurdity are going to totally dig this.
Agreed.
I think everybody should dig this. It should be like required school reading, but that's just me. Okay, we'll move this into the overrated, underrated area for now. Actors, actresses that have played superheroes or villains, movie, TV. I believe we expanded the whole thing. So... right off the bat, I'll go overrated, and I don't know how popular this is going to be, but I'm going Batman Christian Bale.
Really?
Oh, I know everyone thinks he was so awesome, but like between the voice and like the Sylvester Stallone lips the whole time he is Batman, I think he overplayed.
So what you're saying is that George Clooney was a better Batman.
No. George Clooney was a good Bruce Wayne. He was a terrible Batman. Val Kilmer, on the other hand, was a good Batman, but a terrible Bruce Wayne. Christian Bale, I'm just saying everyone's gaga over. I'm not saying he was terrible. I'm not saying he was bad. And, you know, I just don't think he was, you know. Who's that comedian?
Peter Francis Dreese.
No, the guy that does all the Batman spoofs.
Oh, Pete Holmes.
Pete Holmes.
Yes. He completely nails it. Like, half the time you can't understand him. He's like a deeper voiced, drunken, grizzly Sylvester Stallone. I'm just saying, it's not like I'm saying he's the worst. I'm just saying he's not as great as everyone thinks.
Oh, wow. See, I think he was a good Batman and a great Bruce Wayne. But, you know. All right.
Well, we're not talking about the Bruce Wayne part of the act. We're talking about the Batman part of the
That's
act.
That's fine. My overrated, Tom Welling as Superman from Smallville.
Never watched it.
Never watched it.
I only watched a handful of episodes, but between the obvious idea that they were trying to find the next Christopher Reeve, which is just, I get it, but at the same time, it's 30 years later, let's kind of move on. Also, the fact that, like, anything I ever read was this guy pretty much saying, I've never read a Superman comic. I am not interested in Superman comics. I don't care about Superman comics. I am going to create my own version of Superman. And then he insisted that the entire run of the show, he never wear this suit. Like, what's the point then? I just feel like... And I've seen the show. He was okay, but not... He seemed like he was not really interested in being a part of it. And I guess, like, they took all the way till season 10 for them to finally talk him into wearing the S on his chest. So, yeah, I mean, I know a lot of people are not real big on Superman. I kind of disagree for a lot of reasons, but, yeah, boo to that guy. I'm glad they don't make superhero shows like that anymore, because the few episodes I watched, I'm like, is this even a superhero show? It doesn't feel like it. It feels like Baywatch or something. I wanted to like it, but I just didn't really care for it.
Oh, shoot, what was my pick? No, I can't remember.
You should probably write this stuff down.
Oh, no. Who's that fuck that played Spider-Man?
Tobey Maguire.
No, the other...
The guy from the Andrew 70s?
Tobey Maguire.
He just said Tobey Maguire.
Yeah, right. But...
Sorry. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, it's... I don't like that dude. I don't know why.
No, I don't disagree. It wasn't like he was the greatest, but then he sealed his fate with that third one.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things he'll always have to... I think he was pretty good in the first two, and wouldn't have thought... I probably, if that last movie had been good, I'd probably be like, oh, he's fine. It's fine. But that last one was...
Yeah, that's pretty much what I'm basing it on.
Yeah, that last movie was poop and pee mixed. Did not like that.
I never got past the second one, so...
Don't.
I didn't like the second one.
And with Andrew Garfield, don't get past the first one. It sounds like the second one will be good with the cast it has, but it is terrible.
I actually liked Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man. I just did not like that movie. I thought it was super long.
I thought he was a cool Peter Parker, but the movie it seemed like the movie just didn't care.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I was like, is this going to happen ever? Or is he just going to walk around with that backpack and skateboard the whole movie? I don't even remember him being Spider-Man very much in that movie until like the very end. And all he did was not save Dennis Leary's life.
Man, wow.
I'm just saying, that's your job. It's job number one, save Dennis Leary, and he didn't. So, yeah, bad movie. From a lizard guy, no less.
Just use a heat ray, make him go to sleep.
Yeah.
Mine, maybe not a very popular opinion either, but Jack Nicholson as the Joker.
I actually thought about picking that.
Yeah, looking back at that movie, as much as I loved it as a kid, I think it has aged in a way that I don't really enjoy them very much. I like Michael Keaton. I think he's great. I like Tim Burton. But I feel like the Joker is less of a Joker and more of like a Tim Burton-y kind of creation. And I think Jack Nicholson as that just kind of like, it's almost like he could have had a superpower of just sucking the air out of Gotham. Cause there's like, I felt like it was just, it's just too much all the time. It's looking back. I don't think I really want to see Jack Nicholson play the Joker again.
Yeah. I agree. I loved it when I came out, but I bought the Blu-ray when it came out and I watched it and I was like, I like parts of this, but I don't love it like I did when it came out. And there's so many glaring errors that are hard to like ignore. And so many weird uses of characters, like Harvey Dent was like poorly used in those two movies. Because he's almost not even really in the movie. So the whole purple pants and plaid jacket thing is just kind of, I don't know. Seems like
Oh, good.
I was just gonna say he seems more like a Kmart clown pervert than a menacing supervillain, I guess.
All right. Well, I'm not gonna say anything then. That was great. like I told you guys, I won't tell you all of them or anything, but I'd come up with a bunch just in case one of you guys took Jack Nicholson, because my friend Tom Doherty and I went through this last night, and he spent a long time with me coming up with things that he really felt strongly about too. So there was definitely there was definitely some coaching.
See,
from my friend
like,
there.
Now I feel like he should be on here to kind of throw some of his ideas our way, because I'd like to hear them.
I'm sure he'd love it. Because he also told me if, because I wanted to make sure I covered all the bases, you know. So I was trying to think of other ones, and we got two other were X-Men and ladies that I like as actresses, but like Halle Berry as Storm and Famke Janssen as Jean Grey both were also could be on that list.
I actually thought of Halle Berry as well.
I can see that one. The other one, I kind of like her as, Jean Grey. Well, yeah,
I like her quite a bit, but I don't know. The Halle Berry, I guess she hated being on that movie, or she hated Bryan Singer and did not like being in those movies. And I heard that had a lot to do with her performance. Like, she was just miserable.
Why didn't she just quit?
I don't know.
She's probably locked into a contract.
I mean, I guess. For me, underrated. I mean, a lot of people didn't like the movie anyway, and I think that's ridiculous. But I'm going Jeffrey Dean Morgan as the comedian in Watchmen. Absolutely nailed that role. And I just know a lot of people hate that movie, but I don't know why. I still watch it at least a couple times a year, and he is fantastic in that movie.
I think the two reasons a lot of people weren't, people have softened their opinion on that movie. I still think there's a large contingent of anti-Zack Snyder fans out there, or not really, I guess they're not fans, they're the exact opposite. I think what it is a lot of people felt he just adapted the book panel for panel, and the other part is, they didn't do the giant squid at the end.
See, here's the thing. When they follow the book too closely, it's like, it's too close. And then when they go off the book, it's like, they didn't follow the book. Like, no one's ever happy. Your favorite characters are on the big screen. Be happy. It's that simple.
Well,
yeah.
I can admit that I saw the movie first, so I had no frame of reference going in. And I loved the movie both times, so that's why I bought the book. Twice, as a matter of fact. Funny you mention it, because my underrated is actually Matthew Good as Ozymandias.
I'm not surprised. I know you're quite obsessed with him.
That sounds...
You know what I mean.
Like I'm stalking his front door or something, but I would if he lived nearby. No, I just... I think that guy is such a terrific actor. Like, he was a huge highlight for me in The Imitation Game, and he's... You know, in a movie with Benedict Cumberbatch, which is, like, already, like, whoa. But I just think that guy's, like, a really, really good actor. And Ozymandias is such a great character. And he does such a fantastic job with it. I mean, to deliver some of the lines he does in the costume he's got on, and for it to be believable was just, I don't know. I've always really liked that character ever since I first became aware. So,
I'm gonna say my overrated. I mean, my underrated. Sorry, overrated. I'm gonna say Heath Ledger as the Joker.
As underrated.
I guess you can't really use that because...
Didn't he win an Oscar for that?
I mean, defend it for sure, but I'm just... That's a really odd pick, I think.
Damien, you go. I'm still... Let me think about it a little bit.
Okay. Well, I have four if you want any.
No, it's okay.
mine was Hugo Weaving as V.
Yes.
I thought he did a really great job, especially for an actor who wore a mask the entire time.
Yes.
I felt a lot of real like emoting coming from his physical appearance, the way he carried himself, his voice is great. I thought that was great job.
Yes. That's actually another one I saw the movie first.
Okay.
I'm showing my Guess Who's a Poser. Woo.
I read all those books, Watchmen and V for Vendetta and all that stuff before, definitely before I saw the movies. I think both in those cases, I wasn't super disappointed. I mean, Watchmen was not like the book, and I realized that going in, but I thought the comedian's performance kind of made me just enjoy that movie so much, so that was a great one. And V for Vendetta, same thing. It's not exactly like the book. I mean, the guy doesn't go into the woods and drop acid, you know, like he does in the comic, which is, you know, I would like that to happen, but I think the way they played it out in the movie were great. I thought V was fantastic. I watch that movie at least once a year. I always feel good about it.
Yeah, that movie's great, and I've actually read the book twice because it was that good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go back and watch it again.
And
what's that in the background?
Oh, it's my wife's crows.
Oh.
I think they're mad I'm outside because they feel nervous about getting treats if I stand out here.
Ah. What were the other three? Just out of curiosity.
Well, one of them, the last one I put on there, I actually don't know if it's underrated. This might be one of those things where everyone loves him, but I just, Liam Neeson as Darkman. I just feel like that was awesome at a time where superhero movies weren't happening, and I don't know how much of a superhero Darkman really is, but I always really enjoyed that movie, kind of before I even knew who Liam Neeson was. And thinking about that movie last night, it made me think, like, you know, I hope the MCU uses Liam Neeson in some way. Like, he'd be a cool villain, or even, I don't know, if they want, like, an older Black Bolt for the Inhumans movie or something.
He'd be a really good Harvey Dent, actually, I think.
He would be a good Harvey Dent. Oh, there they are. Crows are eating cat food. Let me go on the walk the other way. I had Chloe Moretz as Hit Girl.
Okay,
Not a big Mark Millar fan. I think he has, and Tom and I were talking about this last night. He was saying, like, and I agreed with him, that Mark Millar is one of these guys who has, like, always has these incredible ideas, and they're always really, really great, and they always turn into really successful things. But his writing itself can sometimes be a little douchey. I don't know if that's the right word. I think she did a really good job as Hit Girl, because that's a really, if you think about it, it's like a super fucked up character. I mean, she's basically like abused by her father to become like a murderer. So she,
yeah,
like completely destroys her childhood and her life to follow her father, who is clearly psychotic.
You mean clearly awesome?
Well, yeah, I mean super awesome. Don't get me wrong. I really enjoyed, that's one I've never read the book. I've only seen the movie, but I totally enjoy it. Don't get me wrong, but like when I have to sit back from it and look at it in the scope of reality, I'm just like, oh my god, that's so fucked up.
Yeah.
And then my last one, which maybe comes with a kind of funny story, is Nicolas Cage's Ghost Rider.
Oh dear.
And here you go.
That one I won't agree with you.
the last time I took mushrooms was the first time I watched Ghost Rider: Spirit of Vengeance. And I'll tell you, that movie was awesome.
The second one sucks.
That's the one. That's the one. I don't know.
Dude, that one sucks.
I didn't even see that one. I only saw the first one.
Don't even bother.
I mean, you're probably right, because I've never seen it sober. But I watched it like
that would be the only way it would have been good, is if you were tripping or something.
Oh, yeah, and it was fantastic. It was amazing. It was a whole other experience. So I don't know if that's how all movies are always like. I mean, I haven't... I'm not a huge psychedelic guy. I've taken mushrooms quite a few times in my life, but not for a very long time. But yeah, the last time I ever took mushrooms was, I decided to watch that movie right as things were kicking in, right when my takeoff kind of happened. And I don't know if you guys have ever taken mushrooms, but there's always this little like takeoff right before things really hit. Like it's sort of like you get almost like wave of anxiety that hits. It's kind of scary for a second, and then all of a sudden you're just like, boom, in a totally other world, and everything you watch and experience is awesome. And yeah, Ghost Rider: Spirit of Vengeance. I have no idea what the movie's about. I think the kid from American Beauty might be in it. But it was a ton of fun. But like I said, if I'd seen it sober, I'm pretty sure I'd have a different opinion.
Well, with the mushrooms thing, I was just gonna say with the mushrooms thing, I don't know if I can actually get away with it now. Otherwise, I probably would try it.
I don't think it's really detectable after it's out of your system. Like,
I don't even know if they test for that kind
of
thing.
For me, it's more of a something I've been interested to try, but I don't know people who know people who can get that kind of stuff. So I just like, I guess I'm screwed.
But yeah. Now I want to watch Ghost Rider, like, in that state.
I know, right? Well, I mean, this is a very unpopular choice, too, but I didn't exactly hate the first one. I mean, it's not the greatest, but, I mean, I've watched it a couple times.
I hate that movie. It's so terrible. And I love Nicolas Cage because he's such a weirdo. And actually, there's a great story about that second Ghost Rider movie. I guess, like, on set, that Idris Elba guy's in it, correct?
Yeah, I think so.
They were like sitting around and they're like, where's Nick at? And then he comes like walking out of nowhere in this bathrobe. And they're like, oh, what are you doing? Where were you? He's like, oh, dude, I needed to get into the vibe. So I spent the night in Dracula's castle by myself. And I was like, I don't know if that's a real story, but if it is, that's the greatest thing I ever heard in my life.
It certainly fits the character of him that I've heard.
Just like this weirdo, like coming out of Dracula's castle in a bathrobe and slippers.
I want to do that.
So amazing. The dude is like such a maniac. That's why, like,
dude, sign me up. That sounds amazing.
Even his worst movies are worth watching, just because. I don't know.
Yeah, because he's bananas.
Mm. All right,
Chris, you got one.
Yeah, Thomas Jane is the Punisher.
Yeah.
I'll agree, even though that movie is not very good.
I thought he was a good Punisher, though.
Oh, no, I agree. I actually, before
I
they...
He was better than Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I guess that's not really saying much.
It's like saying Tobey Maguire is better than the guy that played Spider-Man in the 70s made-for-TV movie. That guy was running around in pajamas for 45 minutes.
Yeah, Sam Jackson's better than David Hasselhoff, so it's just Nick Fury.
Yeah, not in Germany.
Yeah, but, that's true. No, Thomas Jane, man, he was great. I think the new Punisher, I think he's my favorite Punisher, but I definitely think Thomas Jane was quite good as the Punisher.
Yeah, I agree. I actually like
Ray Stevenson,
yeah.
Yeah, he was
he was good, too.
I mean, that movie's ridiculous, but that was kind of the point.
That's what made it awesome. All right, so that was Over Under for the week. Moving into Best Thing Ever. This one, it's been a super uneventful week, so I'm going to tie this together with finishing up Mad Men and starting season two of Daredevil. The end of an era and the beginning of an era, all in one week for me. Nailed it.
I'm two episodes away from finishing Daredevil, and it's pretty good. It's really good. I'm actually going to go with our review of Grizzly Shark, because as funny as the book was, like, that conversation was like exceptionally hilarious. So, yeah, that was a lot of fun for me. I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing.
God,
or if
man,
it's
this
just
is a terrible week for us, man. I hope you guys got something better going on.
I'm just saying, I got a lot of laughs out of that little 15-minute.
I finished my shows. We had a really cool talk. All right, you guys got to bring it home then.
Well, I'm not going to. I finished my model.
Man, this is wrapping up to be a very boring week for everybody.
Yeah, I'm
42. What do you expect?
I don't know. Party time.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Teddy Roosevelt was president in 42.
Man's got
something
a point.
I learned researching for Rough Riders.
No.
He was the youngest president. Our youngest president.
Oh, I'm not saying that you're wrong. I didn't know that.
I got 3 years to beat him. I'm starting my campaign.
Well, I think you're going to miss it unless you get in the cycle. But I got nothing. Actually, my life's kind of falling to shit right now, so I got nothing. Best week ever right now. Car broke down, computer's not working, living situations kind of sucks. I have no money.
Well, see, if you were in Chicago, I could have fixed the computer for you. Womp womp.
Oh. Well, I ended up getting it fixed, so I picked it up today or yesterday, so that was nice. But I had to have Tom drive me because my car's not working. So there's that. There's health problems. There's a bunch of stuff. So everything's kind of awful, but I'm still here, and I'm talking to you guys. That's pretty cool.
That's good. Hopefully that stuff yeah, is yeah. not going to be anything serious.
I'm sure it'll be fine. It always is. It just everything kind of hit it once this last week, but
yeah, that's usually what happens. When it rains, it pours.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. So it'll be fine. It's like on top of all this, I have to find a place to move. Oh, and then my comic shop, Arcane Comics, is moving next week, so I no longer have a comic shop a block away.
Boo.
Yeah, I knew they were going to have to move. I didn't realize it was going to be so soon.
So now you have to move right to where they're moving, so at least you know where you're going to go now.
Well, you know, part of it maybe that's might not be a bad idea, because they're kind of having to move away from this general, you know, kind of more popular, expensive part of town that I've been so lucky to live in for so long. And they're moving up north to what is definitely a more affordable part of Seattle. And I'm like, well, maybe I'll just follow the fucking comic shop.
I mean, you know, you can't change too much at once. You got to have one thing stable in your life. So, I mean, the comic shop's going to be there. You got to go. I mean, it just makes sense.
Yeah, I think so. So I'm bummed about that, because I don't know if we'll have parties there anymore.
Oh, right, yeah.
But because now they're going to be in like a strip mall with like a 24-hour grocery store and stuff. But yeah, we'll see.
Well, all right. I guess we'll try to have better stuff for next week, but obviously a lot of that's not in our control. But until next time, you can find me.
Hey, my model was pretty
that was the high point.
Yeah, dude.
your model was pretty. That's where you're gonna cut it off.
No, it was it was quite labor intensive.
I'm sure you've been working on it for weeks.
Yeah, I have been. 3 weeks. I just finished it really today.
Congratulations.
Getting it ready, man. I'm going to be flying it on Sunday.
Just don't crash into any planes.
Oh, well. Try not to.
Well, alrighty. As usual, you can find me on Twitter at XorsonX. You can find Brian at Pure Rock Fury. You can find Chris at SkateXEdge. You can find Damien at Damien Johnson. You can find all of us on Facebook at facebook.com/reviewandroast. We do have a comic roast page, but I think we're just going to... We're in the process of having that absorbed into the Review and Roast page, so if you follow one and don't follow the other, make sure you're following the right one. And other than that, we will see you next week.